Okay, praise God. Pete, thank you. Whew. As you can see from the title, today's message is Supernatural Love. I want to finish up the first chapter of 1 Peter. It is Valentine's Day next Saturday. It's all about love, all about the heart. And I guess this happened Thursday morning about 4 a.m. I just love to wake up in the morning and just listen. You know, just listen to the Spirit. And I'm all about music. I love music. I went to college for music just because I love music. And songs came into my head. I have a couple songs I'm not going to sing because I don't want anybody walking out. But a couple songs came to me that I stole that I'm going to read to you that I changed the words a little bit to. And you can tell me who the artist was that made this song, because Thursday morning, just laying in bed, and this music came to me. If I wanted to sing Jesus a Valentine's song, I would sing this. I lost at love before, got mad and closed the door, but you said, try just once more, and the U is capitalized. I chose you for the one, now we're having so much fun. You treated me so kind, I'm about to lose my mind. You made me so very happy. That's my song to Jesus today. The others were untrue. And when I think about others, I think about other religions, other faiths, anything that leads you away from God. The others were untrue, but when it came to loving you, I'd spent my whole life with you because you came and you took control. You touched my very soul. You always showed me that loving you was where is that. You made me so very happy. I'm so glad you came into my life. Who sang that song? Praise God. Amen. He goes, I love you so much, you see, you're even in my dreams. I can hear you. I can hear you calling me. I'm so in love with you. All I ever want to do is thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good Valentine song to the Lord. Praise God. You made me so very happy. I'm so glad you came in my life. You made me so very happy. You made me so very happy, Jesus. Then I thought of a song for some of those here that maybe need more of Jesus in their life. Tell me who sang this song. I was alone. I took a ride. I didn't know where I would find you there. Another road where maybe I could see another kind of mind there. Ooh, then suddenly I saw Jesus. Oh, did I tell you I need you every single day of my life? You didn't run. You didn't lie. You knew I wanted just to hold you. I had you and had you gone, you knew in time we meet again, for I told you. Ooh, you were meant to be near me. Ooh, I want you to hear me. Say we'll be together every day. Got to get you into my life. That's a Valentine song for Jesus. You can take the songs that people make and make it. And then I thought of an extra credit song. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, those two songs are written on a sheet in your listening guide. Because I was so excited about it, I had to put it in a listening guide and put it in there. Extra credit song. I gave him all my love. That's all I do. And if you saw my love, you'd love him too. I love him. He gives me everything, and tenderly the love my Lord brings, he brings to me, and I love him. A love like ours could never die as long as I have him near me. Tell me about it. Is that a song to the Lord or not? Bright are the stars that shine, dark is the sky. I know this love of mine will never die, and I love him. Praise God. Who sang that song? Pete. Praise God. Beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Okay, in the letter this week, I emailed you. I asked you that I'm going to ask you a question about your heart, and it's from Psalms 37, 3 and 4. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I'm asking you these two questions today. Go ahead and put them up there, Jason. What does it look like to delight yourself in the Lord? And what are the desires of your heart? So, you know, if you feel led during the service, if you want to write it down on the green sheet and turn it in, you can. But I'm going to get my mic man up here, and I'd like to hear from some of you, because I think it's good for each one of us. Just, Pete, thank you for having us come up here. It's beautiful worshiping together, because I think everybody sitting in here, whether you realize it or not, you have a voice for the things of God. That when you receive Him as your Savior, the Spirit of God dwells inside of you, and you have something to say, should you choose to grow in Him. Should you choose to get into His Word? Should you choose to fellowship and be passionate about the things of God? He has something to say through you. So when we gather here, sit down a second, man. So when we gather here, thanks. When we gather here, there's a reason behind it. When we have Sunday school here, there's a reason behind it. When we meet here Wednesday night to fellowship and get into Word, there's a reason behind it. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to surrender our lives to His will, so all of a sudden our life is not the most important thing. His life is the most important thing. Seriously, I'm around my house yesterday just praying for the message, and the Lord told me something that I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you this, because I don't know if I've ever thought about it before. He literally told me yesterday, Nick, focus on me. Don't focus on the message. Allow me to speak through you. And I feel like He wants me to tell you that today, man. Keith Green, he wrote a song years ago. Dennis and I were from the same generation. That was my first, you know, Christian artist that I loved, was Keith Green, because I got saved in 1981. Man, that's a long time ago. He wrote this song, Asleep in the Light, and he said, can't you see it's such a sin? The world is sleeping in the dark that the church just can't fight because it's asleep in the light. He says, how can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? I love that statement. And I think to myself, we live in a generation where we really don't have an excuse of not being fed the Word of God. I mean, I'm sitting there looking at that video Sunday morning. I'm seeing the clarity of it. And I'm thinking 20 years ago, we had these overheads that we'd write on and put on and put on the screen. We don't have any excuse in America now. God is in the internet. The Word of God can be found on your phone. And He just wants us to meditate on His Word. The Psalm says, how can a young man keep his way pure? And the psalmist says, by living according to your word, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we're sitting in here today. Sorry, David, you might as well go, but now I'm only kidding. We're sitting in here. Sorry, I start joking around and I get off track. We're sitting in here today with an opportunity to grow closer to God. We're sitting in here with an opportunity to understand His Word more and to understand without Him, we can't do this life in holiness. And if you don't have a desire to grow in Him, you got troubles, people. Seriously, don't be comfortable. We had a young lady share last week, I think it was last Sunday, and she shared something that was profound. She said, I feel like I've been lukewarm in my walk lately. And I'm praying today, and I pray that every day that we meet in this place here, that we will become passionate about God, passionate about His Word, and leaving all those stupid excuses and all those life experiences that took us away from God, and just let them go. Stop listening to the chatterbox and saying you're no good, or you've done this, or you can never be close to God, or God can never love you because you did such and such. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You never got a college education, so you don't understand. That's stupid. Just have an open heart. Just have a love and a passion to want nothing else but see God manifested in your life. So you can go out of here and make a difference for Him. Tuesday, I had an unbelievable blessing and honor to speak at a funeral. And I'm going to be honest with you, I love speaking at funerals. I love going to funerals because people are walking in there and they're seeing somebody lying in a coffin and thinking, that's going to happen to me one day. My day's going to come. And here's Lois' brother went to meet with the Lord on last Wednesday. And there was a, you know, Wednesday before, and we had, I don't know, I'm mixed up on my days. But anyway, the funeral was Tuesday. These flowers were from that funeral. And I'm going to tell you something. We had a church service there. We had a church service there, and it was beautiful. People standing up and giving testimony of how Sterling impacted their life. There was a man sitting there who stood up because I said, does anybody want to share and give a testimony or a memory about Sterling Compton? And there were people getting up left and right and standing up. His next door neighbor stood up and said, I lived next to him for 30 years and I would call him the Good Samaritan. He always reached out to me with the gospel. He always was there for me. And I'm thinking to myself, what do you want people to say at your funeral? That you were comfortable? That you had a lot of stuff? That you took a lot of great vacations? What do you want them to say at your funeral? Do you want to stand before God in one day? Don't you want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You reached out to such and such with the gospel. You made a difference with the word of God in your life. That's what you should want. And I'm not hearing any amens here. I'm just pouring out from what God wants me to share. I'm not hearing any amens. Seriously, I don't know whether you're thinking he's crazy, he's off today. Is there anybody here passionate to want to know God more? I want to know. Seriously, we have a work to do. He has a purpose in our life. And I want to ask you, what does it look like to delight yourself in the Lord? Is it just to show up on Sunday morning and say hello to a couple people? Or is it an everyday experience where God puts people in your path, and guess what? You get to speak into their life. You get to pour into their life. You get to take the things of God that he has shown you because you have chosen a fellowship. You have chosen to get into his word. You have chosen to allow the Holy Spirit of God to make your life become alive. And I'm telling you, when you do that, your marriage will grow. You'll be a better parent. You'll be a better neighbor. You'll have great flowers at your funeral. Lois, thank you. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come and share with, I don't know how many people, are there 80 people? And then when they went to the gravesite, because usually when you go to a funeral, I'm going to be honest with you, man, not a lot of people go to the gravesite. I've been there. I've been to funeral where there's 50, 60, 70 people at the funeral. And then when you go to the gravesite, well, it's a little cold. I really don't want to go there. And five people showed up. Practically everybody that was at that service showed up at the gravesite. And it was beautiful. And I looked, there was like three other pastors there. I said, Brother Godfrey, you mind praying and closing it up? He started singing. Don't let your faith fade. I mean, it was a down home. Don't let your faith fade away. And then I saw his wife go over and kiss the casket before they put it down in the ground. It was powerful because she had that much love for her husband. And can I tell you something? You will never, and you might be upset if I say this, but I think it's the God's honest truth. You will never know how to love your spouse until you love God. You will never know how to make a difference in your life for him until you love God. And I'm telling you, man, I feel like a lot of people in this generation are asleep. We've allowed the culture, we've allowed Twitter, we've allowed Facebook to become more important than God and getting into his word and allowing it to make a difference in our life. There are people dying outside of there, outside these walls every day. And I'm going to tell you someday, and I did it 3 or 4 weeks ago, we're going to stand before God and give an account for him, what we did with the things he's given us with. Wednesday night, staying here, and, you know, Caleb and Donna and Tom, and they're just pouring into each other. And they're just talking about how they love these teenagers here, how passionate they are. Look at that smile on Elise. Elise, stand up and turn around and let them see you smile. Look at that girl, man. She's beautiful. And these teenagers are just stacked in here now. There's 47 teenagers here on Wednesday night. Seriously. 5 years ago, there was four people, Donna and three other teenagers. That was it. But it's exciting to see God moving. And you as parents that have teenagers, thank you. Thank you for bringing your teenagers here. Because Pastor Caleb, Donna, Joe, Keith, all the people, Kristen. Did I see Kristen today? Hey, how you doing? They want nothing else but to love on these teenagers and teach them the things of God. Because they're in a battle just like we are. But sometimes, I don't know which battle is worth, being a teenager or an adult. I don't know. But there is a battle going on to keep us away from the things of God. And then you look around the country and you look around the world and there are Christians in the battle lines. There's soldiers in the battle lines protecting us. It is unbelievable. And guess what? We get to make a difference for him. But we're not going to be able to do it if we're comfortable. If we're not going to be able to do it, this Sunday just has a time. Yeah, I think I'll come and check it out and see what's happening, see who's there and who's not there, or whatever. We got a work to do. So behind all this Christianity stuff, there is a prayer going on for you. There is a mindset going on of the Spirit pouring into the staff and into the elders that what can we do to get you passionate about God? What can we do to get you so on fire for Him? We're going to make a difference. I'm going to start the message in a few minutes, but I want to praise God. It was supposed to be funny. There's two questions for you. Now, I've given you time to think about it. I want you to pour into somebody today something God has put on your heart to answer those two questions. Anybody like to start? What does it look like to delight yourself in the Lord? And what are the desires? You know, if you want to answer them both, you want to answer one of them. What are the desires of your heart? We're talking about Valentine's Day today. We're talking about your heart. Go ahead.
Honestly, I believe when it says what it looks like to delight yourself in the Lord, and the word says to reflect a Christ-like character and have a desire to heart is to be able to achieve that character so that way you can indeed be just appearance itself to be a reflection of God's power here on earth.
No. Wait a second. I'm going to interrupt you. How do you achieve that, man? How do you achieve to having God to delight yourself in the Lord? For you personally, what do you need to do to achieve that?
Studying and obeying His word.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Hello. I guess, the first generic answer, I guess, would be like to get your family and children here especially. But I know for like myself, you know, I've got, you know, from like 4 years ago, there was this big debacle and I got a lot of anger, you know, built up in me, and I've asked the Lord for help, and it actually really works. It's actually been kind of crazy, and I think that's probably the best answer for me anyway.
Awesome. Brian, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. Because you come to that point where you ask the question, God, help me. I want more of you. Anybody else? Beautiful.
Check one.
All right.
It's great to see y'all.
We'll make it simple and sweet. Brevity, I think, is important. Two things. You have to believe, and then you have to surrender to His will. If you don't surrender, I caution you, He will bring you to your knees.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And see, when you say that, I thank you. And the thing that comes in my mind, what do you do to surrender? What do you have to do to surrender? What does surrender look like? I'm telling you, every time you're opening up the Word of God, you ask the Spirit of God to make it come alive to you. And you start asking these questions. Well, what does it look like to delight myself in the Lord? Am I doing that? Am I a part of that? Am I a part of a church family that wants nothing else but to see Christ manifested in our lives and all? Anybody else? Praise God. Hi, Rachel.
To delight myself, I feel like that's constantly immersing myself in His Word, submitting myself, and just being full of Him, and to the point where it's overflowing, so that everything that I do, whether it's a tough day, whether it's a good day, that I'm praising Him regardless of whatever my circumstances are.
Beautiful. Thank you. I'm sitting there over there, you know, I just noticed Veronica and Bill, you know, went to a funeral last week. You know, of a man that their family's got to be close with. Here's a 30-year-old man who loved the Lord, am I right? Who loved the Lord. And when they went to that funeral, they had to, upstairs, downstairs, right? They had to stream through what they were saying because he made a difference in so many people's lives. He's only 30 years old. And now he's leaving a wife. He's leaving, what was it, an 8-year-old son, a 8-year-old daughter, 3-year-old son. And you're thinking, why? You know, how does that happen? And we don't know the answer for that other than God has a plan. And no matter what happens in your life, no matter whether you lose somebody close to you, He still has a plan for you. And don't ever think that this church is not accepting and loving, because you might come in here divorced, you might come in here have been abused. All that stuff is part of God's plan. Well, it's not part of God's plan, but it's part of our plan to love you and care about you and do everything we can to spur you on to get into God's Word, because God's Word is what changes you. Allowing His Word to penetrate your heart and make a difference in your life, those are the things that are going to change you. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're comfortable in your walk, and you feel like you don't need to fellowship or need to get into God's Word, you are making a big mistake, my friend. A big mistake. I'm 63 now, and there is so much stuff that I need to learn out of His Word. I can't wait till tomorrow. I can't wait to get in the Word the next day. I can't wait to get around you all. I can't wait to get in Bible studies with you. Because every one of you, God is going to use to impact my life. And I pray that I do the same to you. But I want nothing else but to see the love of God poured out in this sanctuary, poured out into your lives. And then you take it outside in here, and then all of a sudden you get these gifts, and you want to help the teenagers see the love of God. You want to help children see the love of God. You want to help other adults see the love of God. And it happens through His Word. That's how it happens. Anybody else? And then our introduction's over. How you doing, Sarah?
I think a lot of times people go to the verse Psalm 37, 3-4. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And to me, what it means to delight yourself in, oh, look at that. To me, to delight yourself in the Lord, it really means to, every time you're in His presence, every time you're in His Word, you find joy and you get your joy from that at the start of every day. And I think sometimes people take this verse out of context and they say, well, if I love God, then He's going to give me what I want. Yeah. But what it really means is when you love God, you're going to find joy in what His plan is for you. And you're going to want what He wants for you, not what you want for yourself.
Sarah's beautiful. Beautifully said. It is so true.
Hey. So the desires of your heart, I think, I don't know if it's an American thing or if it's a 21st century thing or what it is, but usually my initial gut thought on that was things. But the only reason we have things is so we can do stuff. So I started thinking, of all the things that I do, what's the one thing that would really bother me if I couldn't do it anymore? Mm-hmm. And that's the desire of my heart. And assuming that whatever those things are that you really desire to do line up with Scripture, you know, they are things that are acceptable to God. Delighting yourself in the Lord, imagine doing that thing forever for God and with God. I think that's what it would look like.
Beautiful. Thank you. Praise God. We got an Italian friend of mine in the back with his hand up.
Good morning, family. I don't know, to me, what it means to delight yourself in the Lord, it's basically reaching out the same way He reached out to you.
Nice.
You know? And then the closer you get to Him, then He starts giving you the desires of His heart that then become the desires of your heart.
Wow, beautiful, man. That's Italians, man. See, then you have to ask yourself the question, and it might be a different answer for everybody. How am I going to get closer to God? What do I need to do, or what do I need to surrender to allow His Spirit to move through me? Praise God. Just put it up in that thing, man. Romans chapter 5. Thank you, Mike, man. Romans chapter 5, 1 through 8 says this, and the subtitle is Results of Justification. And justification is a great word. We just finished this study last week, Matt Chandler, Recovering Redemption. Please get that book and read it. It's beautiful. But Matt Chandler said about justification, he said, it's a legal term. The biblical idea of justification means that the gavel bangs down and says, we're declared innocent. Isn't that beautiful? That's justification. When He bangs the gavel down and says, innocent of all the stuff you did. Verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's your answer. How do you get peace? You have to have faith in God, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Christianity is about standing in your faith and living your life by learning from His Word. He says we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations. So if you can get to that point to realize that God allows you to go through trials, like we learned in the beginning of 1 Peter chapter 1. He allows you to go through trials. There's going to be tough times in your life. Why? Because it's going to bring about perseverance. And then with that perseverance, it's going to bring about proven character. Love those two words. Proven character. And it's going to be about hope. And hope does not disappoint us, the Bible says, because the love of God, and today's about supernatural love, the love of God has been poured out where? Within our hearts. How? Through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, the Word says, though perhaps for a good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In your listening, God, I put Christ sacrificed Himself for all who believe, and each one of us sitting here today must be consumed with that when I count to three, the front row say it, 1, 2, 3.
Verifiable.
Praise God. Gratitude to Him for that love. That was beautiful. That supernatural love prompting each one of us to manifest love to Him and those He puts in our path in all we do. So there's two fill-ins for you, verifiable and manifest. Now, when you think about verifiable, what does that mean? demonstrable, provable, confirmable, supportable, certifiable. What does manifest mean? To be obvious, to be apparent, to be evident, to be clear, to be visible, to be marked, to be noticeable. His love is great. It's supernatural. Now, when I say supernatural out into the world, most people would say, well, that means paranormal or mystical or ghost-like or weird or bizarre. I mean, there's shows built around the world's word supernatural. There are shows and movies and books built about the paranormal, which has nothing to do and is the complete opposite of what we're talking about today. I mean, if you go into the bookstore, there are rows of books for teenagers to take you into the world of the paranormal, which is darkness, which is not of God. There is a movie being released this Friday that I beg you not to go see, that I beg you not to be a part of it, because it's going to take love and mess it up into the paranormal. And if you go see that movie, I don't mind saying, shame on you. Don't support that kind of movie that's coming out for Valentine's Day, a book that was sold every 2 seconds in America a couple years ago. That's sad. Because there are people starving for love and to understand what love is, and you will never understand love until you surrender your life to Christ and get into His Word. If you find out that your teenager went to see that movie, take their phone away for a year. Take the computer away from the year. Make them memorize the whole book of 1 Peter. When you look in the dictionary for supernatural, this is what I found. One of or relating to existence outside the natural world. I agree with that. Attribute to a power that seems to violate or go beyond the natural laws. That's the God we serve. Miraculous. That's what supernatural means. That's the God we serve. Number three definition, of or relating to a deity, one that is supernatural. I know Him. His name is Jesus. I've accepted Him. I realize that I'm a sinner. I accepted Him in my life. Now, I realize that this, you know, Paul calls it the tent, your body, the flesh. The rest of your life, your flesh, and teenagers, understand this now. Elise, you have such a beautiful smile. Understand this, that the rest of your life, the flesh that you live in is going to be fighting the Spirit of God that's inside of you. You're going to see commercials on TV or movies or books, and they're going to mess with you. And you have to keep the Spirit of God speaking through you to be louder than the flesh that's on you. 1 John 3:1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. That's why we get up every day. Because of that love He has given us. That's why we come to church. That's why we get into the Word. That's why we fellowship. Because He loved us. And guess what? He loved us first before we loved Him. Because His love was so great and it got a hold of our heart and He knocked on the door of our heart and we realized we are a sinner and we accepted Him and now we want to live our life for Him. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called the children of God. And such we are for this reason. The world does not know us because it did not know Him. Now, the question becomes, what keeps us away from the supernatural love? We have to ask ourselves that. What keeps us, what gets us to be comfortable or non-existent or not moving for God? And the verses are right here in 1 John 2:15 through 17. If you would remember these three verses the rest of your life, they'll help you. Because this is what takes us away from the love of God. And if you can understand this as a teenager, I'm telling you, it'll make a difference in your life. And you'll go out and make a difference for Him. And then you'll stand before Him one day when we leave this earth. Because each one of us are going to die one day. And we'll stand before God and give an account on what we did. with the money he blessed us with the talents we blessed us with the gifts he blessed us with, we're going to give an account. So what keeps us away from all that? 1 John 2:15, the subtitle, do not love the world. Verse 15, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and these are the things that keep us away from the love of God. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Those three things mess with us. They're all around us. We're in a culture where these things are emulated like crazy. That pride messes us up, man. Once you think you've attained it or got it all or did all that stuff, I'm telling you, your life is going to go away from God. And it says those three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and we see it happening every day. And also it's lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. 1 John 3:13 through 19 says this, do not be surprised. Teenagers, do not be surprised if in your faith, Kyle, I'm so excited about you working at Sheets. I saw that on Facebook. That is exciting. Yeah. I looked at that young man getting the job and I thought to myself, he might be running the place in a couple years. But you're going to see the world as it. You're going to see people come in there drunk. You're going to be people coming in there, and I'm sure they buy those things that people use to have sex outside of marriage. I don't want to say the word here. Praise God. Do not be surprised, Kyle, if the world hates you. If you stand up for the things of God and live out His will for your life, you're going to be hated in this world. We're seeing people being killed around this world for the name of Christ. We know that we have passed out from death into life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And who knows, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this. Oh, man. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in needs and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? And you read God's word and you think about giving and you think all the times in the Bible it talks about the tithe. I've had people come up and share here. Steve Gardner, Susan and Todd Luce, Rachel and Jason Marineau, Debbie Kruger. They all came up to share with you how important giving is. And if you read the Bible and realize the Lord's asking you to give back a tenth. A tenth of all he's given you. And can I tell you something? If every one of us understood that and practiced that, I've seen teenagers give. Oh, I hope I'm not embarrassing her, but she's not here. Kayla Luce got an envelope from Darlene because she take and tithe what she made working outside this place. And can I tell you, I can guarantee you that Kayla is living a blessed life. Is she going to go through trials and tribulations? Yes. Is there going to be times where her parents have to say no to her? Yes. But she understands it. And he's asking you to give a tenth, a dime of every dollar, a dollar of every $10, a thousand of every, what is a tenth of that? 10,000? A thousand of every 10,000? Is that a tenth?
I don't have that.
All right. Praise God. You will be blessed. There will be testimonies up here. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to take away from what you said last week, Todd, but Susan, it was powerful. You spoke right out. I felt like the living God was speaking through you. And I'm sitting here holding Kathy's hand and we're looking at each other saying, yeah, she has it. She understands it. It's beautiful. There's something freeing about giving. And I can guarantee you, Mr. Kyle Van Bibleberg, that if you take your check and look at your mom and say, you know, Mom, I think I'm going to give 10 cents. I'm going to give 10% of what I make. And you put it here in this church, and it goes towards running this church and ministries and missions and stuff, God is going to bless you at that job. I can guarantee you. I've never had a person come to me and say, hey, I decided to give 10% and I tried it for a year and my life went downhill. It's never happened in Christendom. It's never happened. You will see God bless you. I'm telling you. It's unbelievable. I don't know how I got from love to giving, but maybe when we give, we show how much we love God. Is that an incorrect statement? To show how much we appreciate what He has done for us. I mean, we're coming up on 39 years in May. That's unbelievable. I got the blessing of marrying Callie and Brian. Every time I see you, my heart just goes out. That's beautiful. God brings two people together and they get married and they do life together. And that's when sex is really cool. And as teenagers, you need to understand that. Sex outside of marriage, not cool. Sex in marriage, cool. Sex outside of marriage, darkness. Sex inside of marriage, light. God created sex. Sex is good. It is. And it's beautiful, and God created it. We went from love giving to sex. Praise God. I'm not even through. I haven't even got to 1 Peter yet. All right. Is the Super Bowl over? Anybody got any place to go? Praise God. Little children, and if you don't mind me adding teenagers and adults, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and truth. Here is the truth. The world will give you a different kind of truth than not this kind of truth, contrary to God's word. Let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before Him. What does assure mean? To declare. What does assure mean? To give surety. What does assure mean? To pledge, to guarantee, to promise. That our hearts will be right before Him. Here's a supernatural commandment, 1 John 3:23 and 24. This is a commandment that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Just as He commanded us, the one who keeps His commandments abides in Him. Pretty much bottom line, man. You want to abide in Him? You want to abide in the vine? They talk about John chapter 15. Obey Him. Obey His commands. We know by this that He abides in us by the Spirit on whom He has given us. I got 5 minutes to finish the last three quarters of the message. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Four questions. I call it the when, the who, the how, and the why concerning love. Number one, when were we enabled to love God? 1 Peter 22:1a, since you have obedience in the truth to purify your souls. That's how you are enabled to love. That's how you are enabled to love your wife. When it says love your wife like Christ loved the church, you won't know how to do that until you understand to be obedient to the truth and purify your souls. And you purify your soul by getting into the Word. It was at salvation that we as believers received the capacity to demonstrate supernatural love. I read it to you in Romans chapter 5, and hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. How? Through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So when we choose to be obedient, we choose to live by the truth and repent of our sins and receive and believe Christ as our Savior. We're saved. We're born again, and the next step is we need to purify our souls. And that's what Bible study is all about. Why do we get together for Bible study? To purify our soul. Why do we get together and pray? To purify our souls. So we gather, we grow, and we go, and it's a never-ending process. And we are commissioning each one of us to do it. Why? To purify our souls. Don't let the enemy speak into you and tell you you don't need Bible study, that you don't need the Word, that you don't need fellowship, because the longer you stay away from those things, the further away you're going to get from God. And you might not agree with me, but I'm telling you, I feel like the Spirit of God is having me to tell you this today. If you want to grow closer to God, you're going to have to get into His Word. You're going to have to spend time with Him. My gosh, if you turned off one 30-minute stupid show on TV and got into the Word 30 minutes a day, your life would change. This church would change. We'd have to have two services. And can I tell you something? When this place is packed up, I'm telling you, man, I'm going to be going up and down the light chandeliers there. Because it's going to be so exciting to have people in here that want nothing else but to see God manifested. I really, truly believe that's why Pete had us come close here today. So we could love on each other and just sing to Him and be closer to the cross. And be closer to one another. Because we need that in this generation. This generation is going downhill fast. The culture is messed up. So we're calling you to gather, grow, and go. And when you talk about the word purification, if you want to know what that means, it means cleansing. It means sanitizing. It means decontamination. Could never spell that. Refinement, refining. So God, when we receive Him, He cleanses our past. And we can forget about that stuff. Forget about all that stupid stuff we did. And we can go on. He cleanses our past and He gives us these, like, these new capabilities because of the Holy Spirit, that we can do the things we can do to purify our souls. So when were we enabled to love? When we started to be obedient to the truth. Who are we to love? The verse 22, for a sincere love for the brethren. At salvation, we become members of Christ's body, the church, and all of a sudden, we have this new Spirit-empowered capacity for love, and it's beautiful. Paul said to the church at Rome, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. For us as believers, sincere love is the prevailing standard, superseding all earthly limitations and considerations. That's beautiful. How are we to love? Fervently love one another from a heart. What does fervently mean? It means to stretch to the limits. Fervently means to be passionate. It means to be enthusiastic. It means to be eager. It means to be zealous. It means to be a fanatic for God. Here comes that Christian punk again. Here he comes, a sheet. He says he loves the Lord, man. Here he comes. They might call him Kyle the Fanatic Christian. Peter told his readers that this kind of love, this supernatural love, is really an attitude. When it comes down to it, it's an attitude compelling from within. If the band wants to come forward, I mean, it's up to you. If you want to do that, blood, sweat, and tears, and Beatles, I'm only kidding. Praise God. Peter told his readers that this love is an attitude compelled from within, from the heart, because it's in fruit of the Holy, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Why should we love? Why should we love? Because you've been born again, the Word says, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring Word of God. When Sterling was in that coffin, when Corey was in that coffin, he became imperishable to, wait, perishable to imperishable. They're now in the sight of God. They're in their souls meeting with Him. And they used to be corruptible, now they're incorruptible. I'm trying to get those words straight, man. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever loves the Father, come on up, ushers, loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. Thus our new birth involves a complete, a radical, a decisive transformation that has to be described in the extreme terms of death and new life. Father, thank you for this time together today, Lord. Father, we pray for our offering today. Father, we pray that we bless those who give. Father, give us an understanding of the freedom that happens when we understand about giving, Father. Help us to understand the power that happens when we give, Father. Help us to think about that prophet Malachi when he says, test me in this and know that I won't throw open the windows of heaven and bless you. Bless you at different places in your life, your marriage, your job, your neighbors, your family. All those things happen when we do that, Father. Father, I pray that in these closing moments, as we take this offering, as Pete leads us, Father, and as all these voices and instrumentalists leave us to the power of God, Father, that maybe someone here would want more of God today. That maybe there's somebody here that maybe some word from the verse today, because all I know how to do is to give the words of God to these your people, Lord, that they will say, I want more of you. That they, after we do this offering, that they would come forward and kneel at this altar and ask for somebody to pray for them, that they would have more of a hunger for God. To ask somebody to pray for them, that they wouldn't have more of a desire and a passion to grow in their relationship with God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit today moving inside of us, Father. I ask you to bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen.